Medicare repeal.
And don't date hot people.
On the next McIntyre to Morning, get smart 5 to 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
And here we are, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And good to be back, as always. Some sort of rule here. As soon as we leave the air for a couple days, everything just happens. So let me take this one thing at a time, but I've got to address this look. The Dow today took a big hit. People are talking about it, offering up all sorts of ideas, opining up and down. The naysayers, of course, the people looking for any turn of any smell of blood in the water forecasting a downturn. But it's very simple, okay? You always have to ask yourselves, what are the smart people doing in the room, right? Because the guys that are moving around billions of dollars, I try to tell myself, they know something I don't. But in this case, no, they know something that you and I both already know. They're just reacting to it in a way that tells us a little bit about what the market thinks and what the economy thinks about what's going on. And I'll give you a clue. It's political. And it's healthcare. There, I just told you. I gave it away. Because here's the thing. Right now, you know that the healthcare plan, the GOP, the Ryan Care plan, whatever you want to call it, is heading for a vote on Thursday. And they need, by the way, I don't know if you know the math on this. Not too much inside baseball. They can lose 21 Republican votes, assuming that no Democrat in the House goes for it. And they're kind of predicting that that's going to be the case. So they can afford to have 21 Republicans defect. But the problem is that right now, about 35, as of about 2 hours ago, we've been tracking this all day, about 2 hours ago, pretty certain that about 35 of them are definitely not on board. Not going to have it, not going to do it, no way, no how. And the reason for this is that the Ryan Care plan, actually, at the end of the day, is kind of a soft rewrite of what Obamacare is, with a key ingredient, which again explains why the markets are doing what they're doing. And the key ingredient are some pretty substantial tax cuts. So by some estimates, I'll tell you, just if you want to figure out how much money we're talking about here, about $600 billion in tax cuts. Because this is what a lot of people don't realize, is that Obamacare was a giant tax increaser for business, okay, for a lot of companies. Things like, well, we talk about the mandate. The hallmark of Obamacare was that there was a mandate. You must buy health insurance. And if you don't, you get a little slap on the wrist. And it wasn't very much, about $700 or so, that was assessed by the IRS. You had to fill in a little form on your taxes at the end of the year. And if you didn't buy health insurance, you paid the money. And the problem is that all the Obamacare plans were so expensive that people opted for doing what? For paying the penalty. The penalty, you tell me what plan. Come on. If you buy your own health insurance right now, tell me what plan is less than $700 a year. You're lucky to find a plan for $700 a month in many cases. So, of course, and the perverse intentions behind all of this was to drive people out of the marketplace, have it fail, and make way for a universal one-payer system, single-payer system, Canada-style healthcare. And that was the intention behind it. So now it's failing, and what happened is happening because now you got Trump and the Republicans in Congress. And so the idea, there's two ways to go here. You stick with it, you let it fail, and then you tackle it, or you tackle it now. And Trump, and this is the question here, right? Because everybody's asking me this. Why is Trump getting behind this awful plan? It's a setup. You know, Ryan's setting him up. It's just, this is a disaster. He's walking into a trap. Sam, some people are really desperately doing some hand-wringing out there. And I'm getting your emails, and I'm going to respond to you about this. Because it's not, a lot of the pundits right now are getting it wrong. Trump has a single, he is single-minded, laser-focused on two things. One, he has to appear that he's getting stuff done in his first 100 days. It's very important to him. Like, the guy understands ratings, he understands, he understands performing by some measure, and he has to get things done. The last thing that Trump wants is to be a do-nothing first 100 days president. That he does not want. And the other thing that Trump wants is he wants tax reform. He has run on this pledge. If you go back to it's taxes, taxes, taxes. And every time he talks about tax reform, the market goes wild. Job numbers creep upwards. And it's because American companies, it is not a secret. American companies are struggling under an enormous tax burden. I know we are. It's unbelievable in the last 4 years what's happened. It's unbelievable. And so companies, large and small, want tax relief. And this tax relief, now here's the funny thing, right? In order to get it done, he needs Congress. And so what is occurring here to some extent, I suspect, Ryan has a plan. He's got this plan for healthcare. And Trump, everybody's saying Trump is 100% behind this, that he's supporting this thing with his whole heart, mind, and soul. But I'll tell you, there's signals of wiggle room, because Trump actually, unusually, so usually, you know, when Trump wants something, he goes for it, and it's, I'm going to do this, and this is how it's going to be, and you all can, kiss my, because it's going to get done. But when Trump isn't that keen on something, he allows for room for negotiation. And you're getting these clear smoke signals. I'm going to illustrate this for you very carefully. For all of you who are in full panic mode, worrying what this all is going to mean for you, because the dust is not settled on this plan. The chances that it pass in the form that it is in today, on Thursday, is not, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen. That's why all the analysts on Wall Street, these are not pollsters, this is not Rasmussen, these are not the idiots at Politico, this isn't CNN. These are people moving big money around, and they're looking at this, they're saying, look, this bill's not going to pass in its present form, and that's bad because now we're postponing tax cuts, just so you understand. They're not necessarily making a qualitative evaluation on healthcare reform as an issue, but they're looking at it strictly as what derivative benefits by way of tax cuts are businesses going to get. And they don't like that it's going to be pushed back a week, 2 weeks, a month, or whatever. So here is what now. So there's some players in all of this that you need to know. There's a guy, Mark Meadows. Now, who is he? These are all just congressmen. Most of these guys have, 500,000, 500,000, if that, constituents. These are not huge districts. But he's the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. And this is the group of congressmen that are fighting Trump on this, they're fighting Ryan on this tooth and nail. And to give you an idea of what's at stake here, And exactly what kind of is going on back and forth here, I'm going to give this was another guy that's part of the Freedom Caucus, and this is Congressman Dave Bratt from Virginia, and he's getting asked here by Katie Turr, who was filling in on NBC Meet the Repressed, usually hosted by Chuck Todd. Asked about, so what, aren't you worried about getting the scorn of Trump? Aren't you concerned what's going to happen here? And this is in clip 10. Play this clip, Robbie.
So he's putting the hard sell on. I mean, he's serious. He wants to move on and do tax reform. But we don't want him to fail. We want a successful presidency. And right now we're getting rid of the taxes, right? So the revenues are going away. The costs are going up. It doesn't take a PhD in economics to know that's a failure, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, Obamacare is in the ditch. We're in the death spiral that the healthcare folks have talked about at Aetna and Humana. And we got to get out of the debt spiral. There's only one way to do that, and that's to get the insurance regulations out of the way, let the free market take over, and then the folks with the serious pre-existing conditions, they can't get insurance. That's a separable problem. And as Milton Friedman taught us 50 years ago in economics, when you're doing public policy, aim for the target and hit it. We can provide good health care for those folks. The problem right now is Obamacare focused on coverage. So you have people with health care coverage, but they don't have health care because they can't pay the deductible.
Exactly, because the emphasis went exactly entirely onto Obamacare and off of Medicare, which was always targeted to help the people that were in dire need. And here, but and here's the thing to read between the lines, though. You don't hear in this person, okay, and this is one of the people that's part of that core group that's holding this bill up. You don't hear in there some strong sense of obstruction for the sake of obstructing. What you've got is a person who's saying, look, I'm willing to be reasonable. I like Trump. I want to make it. I want to see Trump be a successful president. But in order to do that, we need to have a successful plan that's going to achieve what we believe is important here, which is lowering cost of health care. So if you accept the premise that healthcare, you know, that we're going to have insurance companies, here's how you do it. You get government out of the way. Whatever happened to you and me just looking at shopping around for different healthcare plans? And as soon as you begin with these, whether it's a mandate or as it is now in this plan, by the way, just so you know, the mandate from the insurance mandate from Obamacare is being eliminated, but it's being replaced by something else. And it's something called the continuous care incentive. You know, Paul Ryan's so obsessed with this not being like Obamacare. But the irony is it is, because instead of punishing you for not buying health insurance, the plan punishes you now, at least this is the proposal as of this afternoon, the plan punishes you if you abandon, give up your health insurance, and then re-enter 63 days or later after the fact. So if you are uninsured for 63 or more days, I don't know where they picked that number. Seems pretty arbitrary, but if you're uninsured for that period of time and then you go and buy health care, bam, you're hit with a fee. And the fee potentially is higher than the Obamacare fee. And it's interesting. So that's by the way, I'm looking at this and I'm going, that fee's payable to a private consortium of health insurance companies. Some it's not exactly defined, but it's not payable to the government. And I'm putting on I want to give you a little bit of a lawyer's perspective on this. You know, the reason that Obamacare survived, when it went through the Court of Appeals and up to the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Obamacare. I want to remind you folks of a little bit of legislative history here. Of judicial history. Because it went to the Supreme Court and the whole notion that the government was forcing you to buy a product. The government can't do that. It's forbidden. And what did the court do? They decided, you know what? They're not forcing you to buy a product. They're taxing you. That's it. And that, of course, is a legitimate function of the federal government. They are allowed to tax us for whatever, in whatever way and for whatever reason they see fit. And that's how it made its way through. So now I'm reading this and I'm going, This is a poison pill in this bill. It's a non-starter from the get-go. And so I got to think now, are some of the people who are supporting this are on board? Do they perhaps see, for example, Trump? Because he's got smart people around him in the room. Do they see that this plan, certain parts of it that are being put in to appease the more liberal members of Congress to get it passed, are certain parts of this bill a non-starter down the road? Are they just going to get kicked out? And what survives is for the good stuff, you know, taking out borders between states, allowing for there to be one Blue Cross instead of Blue Cross of California and Blue Cross of Nevada and Blue Cross of Wisconsin. And is it doing good things like, hey, removing all these ridiculous taxes that were slowing down business? And another thing, you know, there's do you realize that part of Obamacare was taxing companies for any amount over $500,000, health insurance companies, for any amount over $500,000 that they paid to any individual employee. So normally, you know, if you hire an employee and you pay them a salary, you can deduct that salary to any amount. But that was something Obamacare did. They said they didn't want them to have, you know, pay their CEOs millions of dollars. So anything over $500,000, the company couldn't deduct. Small thing. But talk about a disincentive for Blue Cross, for example, or Aetna or whomever, to hire top talent and attract them and be able to pay them and stay competitive. It's just stuff like that. That all needs to go. And so the interesting thing is, when I start reading, and I'll take you through more of these smoke signals, but mark my words, this bill either is not going to happen on Thursday, or if it does, it's going to be significantly better. And Trump is open to it, which means he's open to this thing succeeding. And I don't think it's so much a setup as I think it's a good plan here to let Ryan run with it, do his thing, come out with a successful thing at the end. All right, we'll be right back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Yeah, I think that this setup, these concerns of Trump getting set up by Paul Ryan are a little bit far afield. And so here, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. So what we're talking about is this unfolding drama over the new healthcare bill that's making its way to the floor on Thursday, day after tomorrow. And really, right now, we've got about 35 Republicans who are a hard no. And Ryan, the House leadership can really only afford to lose 21. So as of right now, it's not happening. Now, the fact of the matter is that's good news, because what will happen here is, in order to get these people on board, there will have to be some form of compromise. And to give you, to illustrate this compromise, I want to take, this is from the ringleader himself. This is Mark Meadows. I talked to you about him last segment. He's the head of the House Freedom Caucus. He's a congressman, and he is from North Carolina. And he's, now this guy, by the way, so you understand, he was a Trump supporter. He campaigned with Trump. He made appearances with Trump. This is not an anti-Trumper, okay? But he's dead set against this bill because he sees that it's not economically viable in its present state, and he's right. But here is why there's room for change, and this is why you always need to pay attention to the finer points and the finer details, because the headlines everywhere you go today, you hear about Trump blasting anybody and everyone in his path, saying this bill has to pass. You have to do it. I'm going to campaign against you if you oppose this bill. And so if you've just done a quick cursory kind of overlook, you know, of the headlines, you'll think, wow, Trump's really just dug his heels in. And he's not giving up. It's my way or the highway. And this is where the press, they always want to follow this narrative, because that's the bull in the China cupboard that they imagine Trump to be. But behind the scenes, something else is afoot. Now, this is Mark Meadows today on Jake Tapper on CNN. So Tapper asks him, he goes, are you prepared? Again, going with the whole headline thing that's going on. Are you prepared for the political pressure of this? You know, Trump says he's proud of this bill. You know, the plan's going to be wildly popular. Everyone's going to love it. It's going to be huge. So you're not concerned, you know, what to expect from Trump. You're going to get some blowback, that kind of thing. And this is what Meadows' answer is.
That he'll be with us on our side, because I campaigned with him. I know what he said in North Carolina and other states in the South. And as we see that, it's all about making sure that we provide more affordable health care. And so, as the president weighs in, that message that, you know, is being reported is very different than what I heard from the vice president and Director Mick Mulvaney, which says, we're open to amendments. Let the negotiations begin. We're a willing partner in that, ready to negotiate, ready to get to yes.
See? Exactly that. So here, so you've got the leader of the revolt against this plan, who CNN would have you believe is now, you know, in this polar, you know, locked antlers, fight, confrontation with the Trumpster. And what is he saying? He goes, yeah, that's overblown because, you know, we're getting, whatever Trump's saying, but his people, right, the director of the budget, Mulvaney, and the vice president are telling him, hey, we want to get this done. We're open to compromise. We want a good, sound plan, and we're willing to listen to you. And this is why, this is the theme of this. This has actually greater implications than just healthcare. Because there's the public Trump, the one that, you know, everybody loves to be, you know, say that they under, oh, that's who he is. But it, behind the scenes is somebody who is working far more deftly and carefully at this. And his play is so simple, at least from my perspective. He needs Ryan to pass tax cuts. That's what he needs. He's going to help Ryan in order for Ryan to help him. There's got to be some kind of deal there. And if this thing doesn't work, it's on Ryan. Look, I got to get this done. This is what the Republic. This is what Congress gave me. You know, shoot. What am I going to do? And Ryan's going to be the one stuck holding the bag. The more I look at this, by the way, the more I see of this, I see Ryan written all over it. It's not being called Trump care. It's not being called Trump care. It's all GOP and Paul Ryan care and all that nonsense. So anyway, more on this when we come back. We've got Dave Alpert with the John Wolfe is back with the news. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Well, Sam Rogowski is here behind the microphone, and I got to tell you, so it really is a little bit like reading tea leaves. Because so much of what happens in Washington, see, it affects us, doesn't it? Profoundly, in many cases. This is our health care. It's kind of a big deal. And it's also our taxes, which is also a really big deal. It's got a lot tied up in this. And so it's you've got to be able to kind of predict where this is going to go. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, well, you know, I wonder, you know, I don't want to do my taxes just yet because I think I'm going to get a tax cut. And I thought, hey, you're not going to see that tax cut. You're going to be lucky if it's going to hit in 2018 at the rate we're going. He kind of looked at me puzzled and said, well, really? I thought it was just going to happen like right now. And that's, by the way, that's the perception problem that Trump has. He gets something that a lot of these guys who've been in politics forever don't. They are so used to the Mitch McConnells of the world, you know, the Harry Reids. The world moves on at their pace, and it is a snail race over there, you know, in Washington, D.C. They take their 4, 6, 7 weeks off. You know, it's a legislative calendar. It's molasses. But the American voter, the people that voted for Trump and put him in the office, you got to understand this. They are expecting stuff to happen, and they're expecting it to happen now. And Trump recognizes something that Obama didn't, which is you need Congress in your corner. You need to work with Congress. And Trump had two options here. He could have drafted a great plan. He could have drafted a repeal and just sent it to Congress. And Congress, of course, because these guys have egos. That's the end of it. I mean, he's a wonk. He thinks he's Mr. Policy, the policy king. So he would have, you know, his ego would have been bruised and this thing would have been DOA, which is, you know, technical term for dead on arrival. He would have gone nowhere. I'm just explaining to you the mechanics of why it's not as easy as you think and why Trump, to some extent, is driven by this frenetic push to get this thing done. And in the Senate, as you know, Rand Paul is the big opponent of this Ryan Care bill. And again, my point here is that Trump is letting this thing kind of work its way through. and he's chiming in, and he's not the absolutist. I see, the story is that Trump's Mr. Absolute on this. That is my way or the highway. It's not the case because he's open to this thing. He knows it needs to get done, and he's a deal maker. And here's exactly, we had, this again was on Katie Turr on NBC. Rand Paul was answering a question about, well, you know, so how intractable is Trump? And what's Trump going to do here? And he basically goes, look, he's going to negotiate. Here's what he said.
You know, I keep talking to the president about this, and I think the president is more open to negotiating than House leadership. But the bottom line, a truism of negotiation is you don't negotiate if you don't have to. So right now, the House leadership has been ramming this through committees. They don't think they have to negotiate with conservatives. They think they can buy off one or two at a time,
Well, they also think they have the president's support.
Yeah, but it all depends on the vote. So there'll be no negotiation if they have the votes. If they have the votes, I assume they'll ram it through the Senate also. Nobody really wants to have the messy debate about this, but we should debate. Are they going to make it better or worse?
Yeah, and that's it. But so two things there. One, the president is willing to listen. He's taking advice from Rand Paul, who represents a more reasonable libertarian approach, who understands free markets and how they work. And his advice on this is spot on. And we've covered it in past shows, and we may get into it a little bit later. But at any rate, that's one part of it. And the other part of it is, look, the best bill will come out from discussion, from going through it. And it's a far cry. It's a far cry from Obamacare, which we were all told by Nancy Pelosi that, you know, if you want to know what's in it, you got to pass it. We ain't showing this to you until it's done. Yeah, that went over great. Anyway, this is a process and we're getting there. All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk radio.
790 KABC. And we're back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. So the way to tackle these costs, by the way, I mean, you talk about this, you know, we're going to lower the cost of healthcare. It's easy. You've got to have competition. This is why, for example, the best thing that Trump can do, and he's already done it with the executive order and it's part of this bill, is you take down the barriers between states. If you've got companies only competing within the same state, because previously you couldn't cross state lines. So if Blue Cross is able to compete across all 50 states, they can spread their risk out across all 50 states. And of course, what do? They can trim down the bureaucracy because you don't have to replicate different, you know, groups of people. You can have it all part of one big company instead of 50 different ones. But the critical thing is what is insurance? I've talked to you about how I think that insurance has stopped being about, you know, catastrophic events and become more of a meal plan, you know, where you go and get everything under the sun and, you know, your 24 doctor's visits a year, whatever it is. But what it is, insurance works when you have more people who buy in. And of course, those people that are buying in are not each individually paying, you know, are not each individually filing claims. It's like auto insurance, right? You know, 1,000 people buy it, and hopefully not all 1,000 people get into an auto accident the next day. That's the idea. And so the solution you got one of the big solutions out there is to go and have groups, right? So for example, when they're talking about an at-risk, high-cost group, older people, if you were to offer health insurance through, for example, the AARP. Now, the AARP is a giant, I think they have something like 20 to 30 million members. Now, there's going to be some cost there, right? There's going to be, you know, that insurance is going to be more expensive than, let's say, insurance for hipster millennials. Because they're all in their 20s, and, you know, what are they doing? They're basically just, you know, walking and texting and getting hurt from time to time doing that. But they're a healthier group. The older folks, they're going to pay more for their coverage. But if you spread it across a big group, if you give, instead of individuals purchasing insurance, and you let a large group sell insurance, and they buy, they contract with Aetna, for example, and say, all right, we'll offer this deal to our members, but we're going to buy it in bulk, and we promise we're going to bring you X million members, X million insured sign-ons with your plan. Now you see if you're thinking, if you're Blue Cross, if you're Aetna or whomever, you see how you're willing to give a better price, just like with any product. If you're selling it to a group, you're willing to buy, you know, you're willing to pay, you know, we're willing to pay a better price for it. But whenever you're doing something as an individual, it becomes a lot more expensive. And so these groups are something that we're trying to work in. And right now, the plan doesn't really have any allowances for that. It's all about the individual mandates. So, you know, and I'll tell you where this also goes. You know, this really does tie into what you need to know if you get hurt, when it's an auto accident or when it's some kind of somebody hits you, right? Somebody hurts you. And the craziest thing, have you ever been to the hospital and you fill out the form and they tell you, you know, were you involved in an auto accident? Did somebody else cause this injury? Do you know, by the way, you know why they're asking you that? Because in many cases, they don't want to treat you. They don't want to deal with it. It's an absurdity, and it's all because these treaters don't want to get dragged into a lawsuit. They don't want to do it, but they also want to know, because if they do treat you, they want to come after you later and get, regardless if you have insurance or not, they want to come back after you and collect part of your settlement dollars, right? If you get, they're thinking, hey, if you're going to walk away with some settlement money, they want a part of it, because whatever they've written off, they want to collect back, right? Because they've got some plan with your insurance company that gives them a reduced rate. I want to talk more about this. It's very interesting what happens and all the different ways that providers do actually want to claw back money. And I'll tell you what Sweet James's take is on it when we come back. All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.
All right, we are back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. So listen, you know, it's funny, you get into a car accident and all of a sudden you're stressed out about what? Your medical bills, right? And they start calling and they want some money. And the funniest thing is that, you know, you may want to try to do it all on your own, but then and people are surprised and they call Sweet James all the time about this. Because they try to wrap it up on their own, they get some amount of money, and then they're surprised that the entire amount that they got, the health insurance company or the hospital or whomever wants it back because they're entitled to reimbursement. So don't, it's just one of those things. Like, there's a lot of weird, arcane stuff when it comes to healthcare. And if you've been hurt, if a dog bit you or an e-cig blew up in your face or whatever it is, call Sweet James. Get a lawyer. He's your lawyer. He will represent you. He'll take care of you and make sure that you get through this. And also deal with all the medical stuff, right? You deal with the bills. Make sure they all get paid and that you still get money in your pocket, which is really where it's all at. So how do you reach him? Easy. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Now, look, here is where all this healthcare stuff is headed. We're still going to be talking about this for a few weeks because it's anything but done. Probably will not be passing in the House on Thursday. And by the way, I'll tell you this. Nobody likes a big showdown vote. When it comes to votes in Congress, the House leadership, they haven't figured out, like, they're doing polling, you know, they're figuring out, and then they're not relying on Gallup, okay, that's for sure. No, there's a whip there. That's what the whip does, right? He goes around and he sees who, you know, who's voting yay or nay. And they're putting in columns. They're trying to target the people that are no votes. And if they don't have the votes, they probably aren't going to take it to the floor, which is exactly what Rand Paul's predicting is going to happen. He predicts that they're not going to have the votes. And that at some point they're going to pull the bill and start reworking it and put off the vote. So don't expect this drama to suddenly be over, because even if it by some, you know, some crazy chance passes, it still has to go to the Senate. And there are a lot of senators on both sides that are going to want to make their changes. And that process, that reconciliation process, they're going to come up with their changes, and it has to go back to the House, and you get the point. And this is why Trump is pushing, why he's pushing on this, because if it was left up to Congress, remember earlier when I told you Congress moves at the pace of snails? Well, this is it. Trump knows this. He has watched for 8 years Obama slogging it through with his, you know, agenda. You know, frankly, I'm fine that it moved slowly, but Obama got nothing done because Congress, you know, he wanted it done. He came in and says, yo, do this. And Congress didn't do it. They didn't do it because they wanted to do it their way. And so there and therein lay the impasse where nothing got done. And at the end of the day, looking back 8 years, was not a very successful agenda. Trump has the right idea here. Push it, push it, push it. Stand back a little bit. Let Ryan take the lead. And then let all these different voices come in with their opinions, make it better, refine it, and end up with a better product than at the starting point. And this is something you're just not hearing anywhere else, because everybody's too busy slamming Trump, slamming the Republicans, slamming the Democrats, you know, thinking that there's some big, you know, I don't know, whodunit mystery here. That's just politics. That's all it is. Simple enough, right? Ha, right. Sam Rojofsky here. We'll be back tomorrow night. Can't wait. 7 p.m. And that's it. John Wolf up next with the news. See you soon. Addicted to the shindig.
Chop, chop. Talk Radio 790
KABC.